Mr. Hanson?
Yesterday, we made it through all the agenda items that were scheduled for the Tuesday budget hearing. We picked up the final item from the Monday budget hearings, the operating levy, and also discussed that yesterday. There were no new items added to the wish list. I might suggest, though, because I've had questions, that we put on the callback list CASA, and just see how that's going when we meet again back in May. There's a lot of work ahead of us to see if we can make that happen. And if we can't make it happen, then there'll be some kind of transition that I'll come back before you with to talk about. But that's just a suggestion. It's your callback and wish list, not mine. I'll still be working on it, so it doesn't matter. But okay, if that's what you'd like, I can put that on there. And if not,
I would suggest that we go ahead and put it on there because we're going to have to make sure it happens properly.
Okay. So we'll have that as a callback in May. Do we need a second?
I'll second.
Yeah, I guess we have a second. So other than that, no other items to report on. We still have one item on the wish list. That's the 2.0 FTE for corrections deputies in the amount of $170,000. Obviously, if you divide that by two, it's $85,000 per person. So if you cut it in half, that's the number you'd be working at. All you have scheduled today for the budget hearings is the Public Works Fund and miscellaneous funds that are associated with the Public Works Fund. And then at 11 o'clock, you do have public comments, so we'll have to stop if Mr. Whitaker's still talking or Eric on their program budgets. We ready to go with Public Works?
Let's do it.
Alrighty, Public Works, you have a tab in your budget book for Public Works. The requested and proposed amounts are identical. They weren't identical until Todd went out at the very end to be identical with me. He was going to show who was smarter budgetarily in that.
I still got a record in it.
It is April Fool's, but however, there are always is motions to delete are always in order. Somebody take this budget in mind.
Oh, good. That's why I brought the donuts.
just understand that. You already have the donuts, so motions to delete are always in order.
We can still delete.
So this amount is a little less than what we adopted last year, approximately $100,000. You have a smaller beginning fund balance in the proposed budget than what was adopted last year. That number could increase, and I may come back to you in May with a higher number for this this fund. The other number that's probably
because of the gas tax.
It's hard to know exactly what we're going to be spending rock wise and path paving and those kind of things. We'll have a better idea. That number could hit the $700,000 mark. The other number in here that probably needs to be reduced is the transfer from the general fund. We had reports from the state forestry people about 2 weeks ago, and that number, instead of $80,000, is probably closer to $25,000 to $30,000. So I'll probably make that adjustment when we come back in May, too. So when it all plays out, you may have an increase in beginning, a decrease in the one transfer, and everything's the same. But that's revenue neutral to the general fund because whatever, I'll reduce the revenues to in the general fund because that's where it comes in when we transfer it to Public Works to maintain designated state timber roads. So,
just a question on that federal payment in lieu of tax.
Yes.
It almost doubled this year, which is most of the stuff we're seeing from the feds and the state is dropping. So is there a good reason that federal payment in lieu of taxes went back to what it was in previous years?
No, it's just that I had always budgeted it low.
Oh, okay.
Now, if you look at history-wise, it was 101 and 108 the two previous years.
Right, yeah.
And it's It's going to be 100 again this year. I thought it was going to reduce, but it's not.
Okay.
And my guess is for next year it'll be that same amount. The other revenues in here primarily is the gas tax revenue. You also have some federal funds that we exchange with ODOT at 94 cents on the dollar. They get a 6-cent service fee for converting our federal dollars to freed up state dollars, so we don't have to follow the federal regulations when it comes to improving your roads. So, there are a number of programs within the Public Works Fund, the administration program, county shop, road maintenance, road construction, surveying, and engineering. And then there are going to be three separate funds that we'll talk about also, and that's Public Land Corner Preservation Fund, the OTA 3 Bridge Replacement Fund, and the Doakes Ferry Road Highway 22/51 fund. So with that, we will move to administration. That's on page 3 of your budget book. Proposed and recommended are again identical. There is a drop in the contingency from last year of about $100,000. That's about the same amount that the total fund has dropped, at least in the proposed budget. So what you're doing in road maintenance and other areas probably didn't diminish that much. Staffing is the same in administration, and materials and services are roughly the same. So I would venture to say that this is a status quo budget for Public Works Administration. Todd will talk in more detail about all these programs. I'll just go over them with the budgetary orders. The next one is on page 5, county shops. Again, this is a pretty much a status quo budget. You have a slight increase in repairs and maintenance. You have still the same staffing levels that we've had in the past. And the revenue that's generated is internal charges that they charge for services to the sheriff's fleet and motor pool fleet and those things. The biggest program budget in Public Works is the road maintenance budget. That shows up on page 7. To understand more of the items that are in the materials and services, you probably need to look at page 8. There are some large numbers, operating supplies. If you want to know the details of those operating supplies, they're broken out for you. Same with contract services, and same with road maintenance. All the others are pretty much specific to themselves. We have an increase or a decrease a little in the bridge maintenance, a slight increase in road maintenance, a decrease in chip seals, and asphalt's up a little from what we adopted the previous year. Crush rock remains the same. FTE-wise, we have an additional FTE. We put that person on last August, I think, September. It had been a long time temporary employee that we converted to a regular employee.
The Thompson guy? Is that the Thompson?
Yeah.
Dustin?
Yeah. So we incorporated that new staff into the equation. Those were the only real significant changes in that budget. You'll see the fuels are down a little. Anticipated those fuel prices might go up compared to where they are now. So the following page kind of shows the future equipment list for the county. That shows up in the capital outlay for Public Works Road Maintenance budget. After that, on page 10 in your book is the road construction. This is where we might convert roads or do special projects. This last year, I believe we did one project for Town Beach Road that came out of this budgetary area. And some of the work we did on Buena Vista Park for bike funds and that came out of this area. But overall, we tend to not do much in this particular budget because it's a placeholder for our bike path funds and others, and a loan repayment that we have on the loan that we took out way back when to do Falls City Road. That was a Eco Devo loan that we took out in 2003, roughly, I think. That was, I think, a 15 or 20 year loan. So there are a few more years to pay on that one. The next program and budget is on page 12. That is for the survey program. Status quo in the way of FTE. A year ago, I believe we had one more FTE than we did. We had a retirement, Jim Killian, and we still have flexibility to either hire temp help or some contract services help to balance that workload given when it's necessary, but to date we have not replaced that position. Eric can go into more detail on that if you have questions. And then the final budget within, program budget within Public Works is engineering. We have two FTE. This is a status quo budget for that program. So overall, there hasn't been a lot of changes to the Public Works program, but there's a long list of items that Todd will talk about. Do you want to talk about the other three funds, or do you want to wait on those? Okay. All right, with that, I will turn it over to our Public Works Director, Todd Whitaker, and our County Surveyor, Eric Berry, and let them do their magic.
Well, good morning. Thanks for having us. Kind of give you a condition of our county road system, something we started doing last year that I thought was a little bit helpful or appreciated by the budget committee. So some of this might be a repeat for you, but I'll try to go through it fairly quick. We've got around 500 miles of county road system in the county. About 250 of it is paved, and 230 plus or minus is gravel. All of these roads are in good to excellent condition. Our paved road system is an aging system, so each year it continues to, you know, drop a few points in its pavement condition index. We're probably somewhere around an 81 on average right now. That's on a scale of 0 to 100. So we're still in the good category. Gravel road systems, those of you who have driven our gravel roads are really fantastic. Our crew does a great job of managing the quality of those roads, and given the lead to our grader operators to make those calls of where a road needs some additional gravel or less gravel, or what it does, and we've just seen the quality of those roads come up as each of those grader operators has assigned their own area, takes ownership of that, and has some real pride in how the roads look. So on our paved road system, average age is around 8 years now. We're 3 years into our chip seal cycle, which is likely to add or last around 8 years total. We maybe have another 5 years depending upon how much we could do each year. Our expected PCI at the end of that is going to be a little under 80. We'll bring it up, but then it'll age down some more. If we had more money, we could probably hold that. Right now, according to the calcs that I did, we're somewhere, have about two-thirds of what we need to sustain that 80 plus PCI rating that we'd like to have. It would take probably another $400,000, which is just not there. But everybody's in that boat. We're probably better than most in terms of what we would need in order to sustain. I think a lot of other counties are operating at a greater deficit. If you look at AOC's report and the kind of funds that would necessary for people to be sustainable, we're way on the low end of that, just because of the maintenance strategy that's been employed in Polk County over the past 20 years with vegetation management, drainage management, and pavement management. If the state shared revenue were to dry up, that's the flex funds or the fund exchange, then we would likely see that PCA drop down into the low 70s within 10 years, something like that. So that, you know, we do appreciate that that funding is there, and it really makes a difference. Most of it goes right, all of it goes into paving of some kind or another, or chip seals. It's some kind of pavement preservation there. Our aggregate prices for our gravel roads, that continues to climb. But I previously reported a 5 to 10% per year, and there was a point in time when we had a spike in them. But really, those have kind of leveled off, and they're, you know, growing at modest rates, given the nature of the aggregate supply in Polk County, where there's basically a monopoly.
And so, have you found a real difference now that Valley Concrete's out of Independence? Are you having to ship?
Well, we haven't been getting rock out of the Independence, out of the Kruger pit for, you know, probably a year and a half now. We don't historically use a lot of river rock because it's hard to get it to set up. It's very hard rock. We like it, but it doesn't set up. It doesn't have a lot of binder in it. So we've been starting to do some projects where we blend that together with our crushed quarry rock. Crushed quarry rock is, you know, decomposes a little bit more rapidly. It breaks down on a road more rapidly, but that also creates binder. So we try to blend those two together, getting the hardness out of the river rock and the binder out of the crushed quarry rock to try to, you know, stretch those resources as much as we can. So yeah, certainly having the Kruger pit go down, it does hurt. You know, without a viable source of aggregate there, you know, for river rock, we have to go all the way to River Bend, you know, on Wallace Road, and that's, you know, adds, you know, $5 to $6 a ton for hauling if we're going to the south part of the county.
Now, when you guys chip sealed last year, I saw you guys coming out of Kaiser.
Yeah, last year's chip rock.
Is that new rock that?
That came out of the Wheatland pit, or the Knife River's Wheatland pit. And so yeah, that came all the way out of, you know, north end of the county, or Marion County on that one. So that's a fairly small amount of rock. It was a specialty rock just for chip seal. This year, our chip rock will come out of River Bend. They won the bid this year for providing our chip rock. County's road equipment is generally in very good condition. You know, over the years we've been able to replace some machines. A few years ago, we got 4 new graders. We've got a new backhoe. Since I've been there, this year we're probably 3 weeks from taking delivery on a new wheeled excavator. Our trucks are still in good shape, and I would like to get another 10 years out of those trucks. They're good, solid trucks with the older, you know, engines in them. Some of the legislation that's been introduced right now is particularly troubling. I don't know how that's all gonna work out. We'll keep our fingers crossed, and hopefully there won't be a major impact there. But if that legislation passes, then that could create some, you know, budgetary issues for us. Because, you know, we had planned on rebuilding those engines and then stretching those trucks to their full lifetime. You know, those trucks have maybe 100,000-150,000 miles on them, and you know, we'd like to, you know, use them somewhere around that 450,000-500,000 mile range and do one in-place rebuild on the engines. If legislation changes and we have to go out and buy new trucks, that's going to be a big hit to the budget. So
could you just buy new engines?
I believe that the whole body changes because of the pollution control typically makes those things so much larger. On our graders, we had to put in reverse cameras because they can't see out the back window because the engine compartment is so much taller with the Tier 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Tier 3 engines. So, you know, pickups, vehicles, we're trying to get 1 to 2 of those a year, you know, as the needs arise, but we've generally got, you know, pretty good equipment stock. There's some older pieces of equipment there, but they're ones that we really don't use a lot, and we can get by with an older piece of equipment. You know, our D6 is probably the best example of that. It's probably a, I don't know, 1970 something cat. So small equipment, you know, we generally get, you know, one of those every other year as the needs arise, you know, as far as some compactors and things like this. We do some call-out contracts where we don't, you know, things we don't have are a small mini excavator, you know, with rubber tracks, stuff like that. So we'll rent one of those. We'll rent a small dozer. We'll rent a roller, rent a sweeper, where we have call-out contracts for mid-size excavators to come and do some work for us too. So we kind of monitor how much of that we're using to try to say, okay, when is the right time? When would it become more economical for us to buy one of those rather than hire it out or rent it? Ongoing maintenance and records, Mr. Hansen already went through the materials and services sheet, so if you have any questions there, I'd be happy to answer those. And as far as upcoming project work, the only major project we have coming up this year is the Grand Ronde South Erosion Control Project. So that would be the last of our OTIA program funds that we'll spend there. So that's a different fund, but we'll be doing that project this summer. Cooperative projects that we're working on with ODOT, Doakes Ferry Road realignment. Not aware of that. We're going to realign the connection of Doakes Ferry Road about a quarter mile to the west. But the connection of Doakes Ferry to 22, we're going to realign that about a quarter mile to the west, have it connected at Rigg Street, use some existing right-of-way down 2nd Street to move that intersection out of that dangerous S-corner, S-curves, to a more safer connection. That's an interim term solution identified in the expressway management plan, so we're implementing that. We skipped past the short-term solution because there were adequate funds available to go straight to the medium-term solution there. So that's on track now for construction in summer 2016. We're proceeding forward with the design right now. It's in a preliminary design phase. We've had one shot at reviewing the plans, and we'll probably have another one shortly. Other cooperative projects, we've got the Enhance It, Fix It grant application that was successful on Valley Junction Interchange, and that will provide some additional funds for that interchange, upgrading the environmental assessment to get that project in what's called shovel-ready status to keep moving that forward and improve that intersection. That project is, while that's a state highway and a state facility, that the absence of that project is having a real impact on our road maintenance side because Grand Ronde Road North is being used as a state highway. Those trucks that are headed eastbound on Hebo Highway don't want to go to that intersection with Highway 22 and try to make the left-hand turn. And so instead, their left-hand turn is more easily done on Grand Ronde Road's connection with Highway 22. So they travel down our road. We did some traffic counts up there, and that road is now off the scale for rural low-volume roads. It's functioning as a state highway, and the pavement shows it. It's 5 years old, and we've got some severe alligator cracking there. So that's going to have some big budgetary impacts, to keep that thing healthy until some solution is made at that intersection. Yeah. The other major cooperative project we have is Highway 2251 interchange, and there's been some funds secured for that. That project is moving along at a snail's pace, but projects of that size normally do. So those are being run by ODOT. We're kind of involved, but along for the ride. Administrative and engineering things that we want to do, want to get a fleet management equipment maintenance program set up so that we're making good, informed, educated decisions on when to turn over a piece of equipment. A lot of times, I feel like we may keep a piece of equipment too long because there's still good useful life in it. The way the purchasing works with government entities and the government discounts that we get on the front end of those pieces of equipment, it may make sense to turn those over a little bit sooner and get resale values on the salvage values on those that are nearly equivalent to what we paid for them to begin with. So we're going to look at that and make sure that we're timing those turnovers correctly. Paving management, we continue to, improve on that, getting that back to a more reliable system of making good decisions on which roads we're resurfacing and when we're resurfacing them. GIS road mapping, we're kind of taking that back into public works now, away from GIS. We've got an engineer that we hired that's pretty fluent in GIS, and so she's getting more fluent all the time. So she's able to take that back and improve the quality of our county road system mapping through that. And then that opens new doors for us to do, you know, some more intelligent mapping of our road resources and where they're located, when we do things, and keeping a record of what we do and when we do it. We've also got some road downgrades and vacations that, you know, we'll probably be moving forward with over the next year to take that action where it makes sense. Survey and PLCP, I'll let Eric talk about.
Since we spoke last, we have had the retirement of a senior survey tech. That happened about 11 months ago. Some of the things that we've done to hopefully make up for that loss without having to hire back another person is we've undergone some serious upgrades in both our field equipment and office software. The office software was also partially driven by the upgrade in our computer system, so we had to kind of catch up with times there. So far, that process has been going pretty well. It's busy in that office now, but I think things are starting to settle down. I'm so cautiously optimistic that it's going to work. As far as the corner restoration program, that could see probably the biggest impact of losing that technician. About half his time was spent in that PLCP program, so the number of corner restorations that we do in-house has dropped significantly at this point. That is the easiest thing to cut back on time-wise. I do hope that once everything else kind of settles into place, we do some contracting where we need to for the project work we do. I can start getting some people back into the PLCP program, start spending some hours getting those corners taken care of. So things are sorting themselves out pretty well, although I couldn't say anything's really rock solid at this point. But I think we're doing well. The project-related survey work we have is mainly in relation to the projects that Todd had already spoke of. The big one there would be the Doakes Ferry project. The preliminary survey work is already done. So as those projects arise, both large and small, then we'll get the smaller projects we'll handle in-house. The larger projects, that's where we'll use our money that we have put in the contracting line item to take care of. One of the other things that we're doing is doing a fair amount of cross-training with the staff, so all our engineers and surveyors are going back and forth between the two tracks. They're doing both engineering work and survey work. We have one of our road crew members who has had some engineering training when he was in college, so we've done some job training over on the survey side with him. The plan is to use him as much as possible for the construction type work. He's going to be on those projects anyway. He has a better idea what he wants to see out there. He can jump down off a piece of equipment to do those types of things. So if we bring him in on the ground level, it should just smooth that out. So that's one of the strategies we're employing to you know, backfill the loss of the person. We've been seeing, as far as the PLCP revenues go, we've been seeing a very slight trend up at this point. We're still averaging about $8,000 a month, but it's starting to trend up a little bit. We're seeing a little bit more development happening. We're reviewing subdivisions for the first time in several years. So things are looking good out on the development side of things. That's kind of where we're at, survey-wise.
You may want to tell them where we plan on doing chip seals and all that.
Yeah, chip seals are largely going to be east of Highway 99. We're going to try to finish up everything east of 99. Last year we worked a lot in the southeast section, but we left behind Corvallis Road, so we'll finish that up. We'll get Clow, Rogers, Greenwood, those ones in the kind of the center east section, and then move north yet Oak Grove, Greenwood North, 55th, Orchard Heights, all of that stuff up in there. We're going to leave behind probably around 4 or 5 miles that we, you know, just don't have funds to get to unless there was, you know, some, we ended up with a larger ending fund balance or something like that and had time to respond to it, then we may try to fill some of those in. But that would be up in the West Salem area and some of the steeper sections, 50th, Andrea, some of those that, you know, we may have to leave behind and finish those when we do that block of subdivisions that are up there in the Chattanooga Heights, Eola subdivisions, Broadview Terrace. So that should pretty much finish us out at, you know, major production, chip seal east of Highway 99, and then we'll move over next year either in the northwest or the central west sections and start in there.
How many miles did you do last year?
We did 40 miles last year, which our crew, I still put in a plug for the crew. I think they set a new record last year. They got just shy of 10 miles in one day, which, we used to shoot for that elusive 6 miles a day, and they're knocking that out by 2 o'clock now. So they've really got, no pun intended, a well-oiled machine there that's getting that done. One of the things that helps is a new oil, a new grade of oil that they've come up with. It's got slightly larger polymer content in it, and so it's stickier. And the result of that is they can run the chip spreader just a little bit faster. It used to be that a real fast walk, you could keep up with it. Now you have to break into a jog, which I really hate.
And he has a little cart out there. Yeah.
So you can run it just a little bit faster because when the rock hits, it's stickier and it doesn't roll and turn, and that's what you don't want it to do. So that certainly helped. Plus the extra polymer in the oil is really... We really like it so far. The amount of the stickiness factor of that has gone way up. Last year, chip seal, not one windshield complaint the entire time. So it was, you know, and doing 40 miles, you know, was that's a lot of miles. And those, you know, a lot of those were the Airlies and Subarus and Buena Vistas where people, you know, getting them to drive that 35 miles an hour that's posted on the construction signs is virtually impossible. So we were happy about that. One of the things, you know, to kind of blend what Eric was talking about and what I was talking about is you know, we had a staff leave in survey, and so Eric has been training some additional staff to cover some of those, you know, fill some of that hole. We're also, you know, doing a little bit of reorganization, transferring some of the project management that, you know, that Eric was doing, you know, back over into the engineering and road side with Alina, and then you know, Rod Allier is retiring. His last day will be next month. He's our road supervisor, so you know, hiring a new person there with some more project management capabilities and skills, so that we can, you know, transfer some of that out. Getting a guy on the road crew who can do survey, you know, is again help slide that stuff off. So we're really trying to shrink that hole left by Jim Killian's retirement as much as possible. And then, you know, hiring or purchasing the new equipment, you know, the robotic total station, you know, eliminates a lot of that stuff from a two-person job to a one-person job. So, and that's been kind of the strategy that we're using on that.
Any questions?
Well, they do a great job. Okay, we have great roads in Polk County. And they manage them. I mean, whether it's digging the ditches to keep the water off the base of the road, or just the, I love them, like, oh, I'm going to kill all the brush. Okay.
We do get phone calls on that now.
Oh, I know we do. So do we, huh? But it's nice that, you know.
I'll have to start calling about my neighbor's trees.
There you go. No, they do a good job. And like Todd said, I mean, last year when they were doing that chip seal, it was like a game to them to see if they could get to that 10 miles that one day. And he's got a dedicated crew out there that have great work ethic.
Yes, they do. Okay.
So I've got a question on road maintenance. It's on page 6. So, and there's a line down there about bridge maintenance. So we budget more than what you spend most years. Is that just because you budget enough to fix a bridge in case there's a problem, and then we don't have a real problem and you don't need to do it? Or
sometimes that's you know, due to your bridge inspections, you know, you get your bridge inspections in the summer, and that may uncover new things that you weren't aware of. You know, it's been 2 years since your last bridge inspection, and it's like, oh, wow, we've got some additional rot that's proceeded forward in some of these piles, and so we have to get in and push some piles on a bridge that maybe we didn't plan for. So I think that that is probably a harder item to predict, and why we typically order or budget for a little more money there than what we historically spend.
And when we do bridge replacement, those tend to not be with county funds. We end up having to go to
right.
a bigger level of funding, HBRR, whatever the current acronym is for that, that is federally subsidized. But
so this is cost, kind of repairs, bridge repairs, not bridge replacement.
Primarily.
Yeah.
The cost of those type of projects go up 2-3-fold because of all the federal regulations and everything else.
Todd, did the safety quarter sign come down yesterday?
I don't know.
Oh, on 18?
Just to give you an update, we used to have two safety corridors in the county, one on Highway 22. That got removed 4 years ago,
yeah,
somewhere around there. We just got notice that the one out on Highway 18 or out Grand Ronde area is coming down as of yesterday. Guess there isn't enough, and they're doing that statewide. We got a 2-week notice from ODOT that was coming down, so we had really no time to respond. Or
is there a reason for their action?
Is there a reason for any ODOT action? That's a question we could go on probably all day talking about.
The reason stated are that the accident level has dropped below, you know, the threshold.
Well, in fact, my quote, we're going to
celebrate
success.
So it's frustrating before improvements are made. You know, you make a safety corridor, and the first thing that you do is you put up the signs, you double the fines in the safety corridor. You know, turn your lights on for safety, put up the flags, and you get some additional funds for law enforcement out there. And what that does is it causes people to drive better, and that's a temporary band-aid. That's all that is. It's just suppressing those serious injuries and fatalities until you can get permanent solutions on the ground that take away the risk in a more permanent basis. And so to be lifting, decommissioning these things before... you know, the analogy that I use, it's like, you know, passing a law to have everybody wear a safety belt so accidents go down. You say, well, great, let's repeal the law because it's safer now. It's like you the problem's going to come back, and it has come back. We've seen that on Highway 22, and so that's really frustrating. I don't know the real reason behind it. It would appear that the state, you know, based on the trends of the number of safety corridors in the state are shrinking. I think there's only four left or something like that, that they're trying to get out of the safety corridor business, but I don't believe that's because they've been unsuccessful. I mean, at each time they decommission one, they triumph the success of it, so it seems like the program is successful. I don't know. I kind of got that.
Well, why would you take it off? Just keep it on.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So, Todd, Mr. Hansen touched on the subject of cost of crushed rock, and we have a line item calling for $350,000, which is status quo, but I thought I heard $700,000-$750,000 potential. Is that what I heard you say, Greg?
No, that $750,000 is for chip seal and that.
Oh, okay. So I just wanted to make sure.
Crushed rock status quo, some years we go hog wild, others. If you look at the history, in 12-13, we used $450,000 worth of crushed rock. We did a lot of rocking that year. The following year, we did less than $300,000. This year, I think we're on pace for about $340,000. We had a lot of early rock this year because of weather conditions, so we won't get a lot of the late rock problem.
It's really weather dependent. It depends on the rainfall patterns during the winter time. If you get if you get mild rain sustained for long periods of time, you get all the time to grade the roads that you want, and that's, you know, so we have time to get gravel on all of those roads. If you have a year like we've had here where you get intense rainfall, now it's too wet to grade, and then you get no rainfall, it's too dry to grade, it's really hard to get that rock banked out there. You don't like to, we generally don't like to spread the rock and leave it there for too long before the grader has a chance to come in, because if you get a few goobers there, that's an irritation for people, you know, if you get some overlap in the spreading rate and stuff like that. So, you know, we try to get that as close as we can in front of the graders, and so when you have a year like this, you know, our rock usage will tend to go down. You pay the price for that the following year, and so that's why you'll see that oscillation. You know, a real light year might be followed by a real heavy year because you're paying the price for it. So generally, we figure, you know, somewhere around an inch a year is what we try to get on our roads.
Yeah, also follow, just to follow up to this, and isn't about the crushed rock, but I'm not sure, I may have asked this before, where does our FEMA payments come in? I'm looking at the road maintenance section, so where do those payments come in, when we get them, and how do we budget for them?
I believe those come in as charges for services.
Actually, they showed up as settlements.
For settlements, okay.
If you look at the history, the last time we really got any big FEMA payments was 12-13 and 13-14. We haven't had an event lately, so we haven't had reimbursements. And those are on a reimbursement basis. After you qualify as a FEMA event, then you do the work and then you get reimbursed. Sometimes that process is simpler. Sometimes it's more complicated, depending on who you get to work with.
We don't need to plug a number in there for a spot, yeah, just in case.
It's revenue we won't realize till after the fact. You can get reimbursed real quick on, depending on the event, but the long-term fixes to that event usually occur another fiscal year from now. Slides or other road washouts and that. We haven't had any of those in a while, and hopefully we don't have, but you never know.
And it's somewhat of a neutral of a neutral impact too, that we can't predict the disaster. If it comes, you know, we have additional expense. FEMA reimburses us for it, you know, to try to make that a neutral impact.
Well, let's go back to the chip seal again, because you guys did Airlie Road. I live on Airlie Road. Mm-hmm. And it really bonded well, and the rock was a little smaller, or
it was a little finer rock,
because it really, yeah, we switched really compacted
that,
well.
Switched to that 3/8 rock in 2013, just because it reduces the cost per mile. From information I've looked at, doesn't have a significant shortening of the lifetime of the chip seal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a little quieter.
It is quieter.
Yeah. A little finer surface, and it's less cost. You figure, you know, your chip, the amount of oil that you put on is to try to embed, you know, your largest aggregate about 40% into the oil layer below it. So the larger that aggregate is, the deeper the oil has to be. So.
And I think Rick Rail Road is where we had a larger aggregate.
Yeah, half inch on that.
Noise-wise and ride-wise, you can feel the difference between the
There are some places where I would look at it still and say that, you know, Rick Rail Road's one where a half inch made sense with the dairy there and the amount
bigger
of traffic,
trucks
in and out. So, you know, if we're chip sealing a heavy haul route like that, a half inch chip seal makes sense. But it's hard to mix that in. You know, you want to do a year of that, not a road of that.
So if we did chip seal on South Grand Run Road, which Todd said we're using as a secondary highway right now, we'd have to put, we're actually probably going to have to put asphalt on that. But if we were chip sealing the heavier or the bigger,
you put the half inch on it.
If we were not failing structurally,
yeah. Failing structurally doesn't make a lot of sense.
No.
Any other questions?
Good job.
I need a motion to approve the revenue as well as the.
I move that we
for those that we
Public Works in the amount of $5,729,500. Administration-wise in Public Works of $1,001,544. Public Works regards to the shop would be $476,605. Public Works with the road maintenance would be a total of $3,570,937. Public Works road construction, a total of $200,500. Public Works in the Department of the Survey, $279,303. In the Engineering Department, $200,611.
Any second? Mr. Ainsworth made the motion for the Public Works funds. Well, seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Pass unanimously.
All right, the three other separate funds from the Public Works fund, but overseen by Public Works. The first is the Public Land Corner Preservation Fund. We've already talked about that. In your packet on page 16 is the budget for that program. Resources and expenditures in the amount of $110,000. You'll see the biggest line items in there are for information services and then also what Public Works Survey charges back to this fund. This fund used to be a little healthier than it once was. It's a function of recording. So when recording was going real well, we were beginning
several hundred thousand.
Yeah, and
really, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We were quite healthy.
In 08, when things were really going.
Yeah.
It was. We couldn't hardly spend it fast enough.
Right. So this is again a ratcheted down budget from what we. We had the last year, but as Eric has mentioned, that those recording revenues are probably starting to go up a little. As a result, we may have plateaued or bottomed out, at least this last year or the current year we're in, and things are starting to get better. So if it does, we'll start to grow again in this fund. It does have its dedicated funding, so, and Eric does oversee this. I'd recommend that you approve that budget. The next one is the OTIA 3 bridge replacement budget. We received these monies way back in 2003 to do a number of bridges. We were successful in doing those bridges. They were all bridge replacements with the exception of one bridge, and that bridge was on South Grand Ronde Road. We are doing a supplemental maintenance for that bridge. This current construction season. We've also done a supplemental out in that area on Fire Hall. We did have monies left over from these projects, and as a result, we were able to get ODOT to say that we could go back and use maintenance to protect the
investment. Is that the erosion deal?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We did that on Fire Hall already, yeah. And this will be the secondary one, or the second one will be on the South Grand Road Bridge. But that program was very successful for the counties, probably too successful for ODOT to continue because they got results and that is not what they're into. They're into talking more than getting results. That's my editorial on ODOT. When they talked about the OTIA bridge replacement program, ODOT took credit for all the county work because they had yet to get their work done. They were in the 3 to 5 year range. A lot of counties had theirs done within the first 3 or 4 years. And in most cases, ODOT hadn't even started on their bridges.
Well, didn't they give us a chunk of money and then we improved a couple more bridges?
Well, they gave us a chunk
two or three or
money, and then they gave us some secondary money.
That was
gave
it.
Us
two, that
more,
was it.
Two more bridges.
Yeah.
One was in the West Salem area, I think.
Rob Mill, yeah.
Okay. So we did a lot of bridges. We replaced a lot of infrastructure, and that was a very, very good program. They just turned the money over to the counties, and the counties got to operate and manage those outside the expensive process. So, but this is the last of those monies, and hopefully we'll get this project done. Hopefully we can stay within budget. If we aren't able to, we'll probably supplement that with public works money, because we just need to get that project done. But we'll know more probably in a couple months. The final project or final fund to talk about is the Stokes Ferry Road, Highway 22 and 51 fund. We're in an agreement with ODOT on a funding source to realign Stokes Ferry Road further to the west and have that connectivity for Stokes Ferry Road to occur.
Find me.
Well, it's a horrible ringtone.
I know.
Have that connectivity be further west at Riggs Road.
You like that, don't you?
That was a purpose.
No, it wasn't. She's calling from the airport.
But we'll further west to Riggs Road, and then eventually that'll push out to the Highway 2251 intersection, overpass, whatever is the final design of that. Down the road, probably longer than any of this budget committee will be here to discuss, is my guess. Whether we see it in our lifetimes will be a big question too. But this is in the amount, most of this is for the buying of right-of-way and or the design. The construction dollars for this project will show up probably in the next fiscal year. When we actually are realigning the road and that. So those are the three programs that are overseen by Public Works that fall outside of the Public Works Fund, and I strongly recommend that we approve.
Go through one silent.
Dodgers flying in. So with that, I'll leave it over to the Budget Committee. If you have more questions on any of these projects, Todd can answer.
I have one about the bridge replacement. So the bridges that are listed here have been replaced?
All of
them. Are going to, they have been replaced.
Yeah. Right. They were all replaced in 04, 05, and 06. And then we got the supplemental money. And
River Bend 2010. Finished up.
Rob Mill must have been
and
11.
Rob Mill was 2011, I believe.
12.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then we've done the maintenance projects in 2013, and this one in 15 or something like that.
And so
we did 2014. We did
Fire Hall.
So the remaining money in here is just for improving the stream on South Grand Round Road?
Yeah, there's been some pretty significant bridge scour there that's starting to threaten to undermine the piers and the abutments. And okay. So is that's in a section of the stream that's trying to meander. And so we're doing some work in there to try to convince the stream to be back in the center.
Put some riprap in there.
Yeah, where it started, so.
And these are monies that we got from ODOT.
Right.
If we don't expend, they go sure. Back to ODOT.
I was just hoping we could fix another bridge somewhere.
Yeah, they have to get on an approved list. We don't get to pick that. It's one where we submit way back when, and they authorize the list, and then as monies became available, we continued to, and we're able to completely exhaust the list that we submitted.
All right.
Any other questions? Any motion to approve the...
I would move that we
approve the public lands corner preservation budget of $110,000. Also, in public works, the Otea Bridge replacement in the amount of
$362,000.
Oh, down at the bottom, oh, total expenses, okay. $362,000. And then for the Dopes Ferry Road, $550,000.
Second.
Said moved by Commissioner Ainsworth, second by Lawson.
You get that second, okay.
To approve the three bonds, the land corner preservation bond, the bridge replacement bond, the Dopes Ferry Highway 2251 bond. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for not exercising these three.
Motion, they're all in order.
No, we still have chance.
At least for 1 hour you retain.
That means we have to leave the donuts.
Yeah, oh, yeah, no, that's right.
You can't take the donuts with you, Todd. You have to leave all that.
Yes, I noticed on your projects you have Belsett's Road. You weren't ours.
No, I didn't.
Was that?
Rumble strips.
Well, because I listed those under cooperative projects. I wouldn't call that a cooperative project.
Don't get him started. He is very professional.
When we have another cooperative one, I'll let you know.
Are we breaking for a couple?
We'll break for a couple of minutes. Thanks, Tom.
Now is the time for public comment on the budget. I would ask that when you come up for the record, say your name and your address so that we have it on the record. And whoever wants to be first can be first.
She's brave.
I'm Jean Sherbeck, Dallas, Oregon. I just wanted to comment on the two items on the wait list, the callback list. I'm very much in favor of those. I think they're wise decisions, and I would hope that at least one more person could be hired for jail personnel. I think the situation there is just kind of in crisis mode. We don't want to lose any jail personnel, and I think a lot of them must be under quite stress. So I would hope that at least one person, if you could find funds to hire at least one person. And this has been a happier budget session, as someone mentioned, because no layoffs contemplated. So it has been more hopeful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jean.
Chairman Hartman, with your permission, I'd like to distribute some material to the Budget Committee.
Your name?
My apologies, Mr. Chairman. E.M. Easterly, 775 Fir Gardens Northwest in Salem. Is that acceptable? Thank you. Chairman, members of the Budget Committee. I'm looking for a formal declaration detailing the proposed public safety operating levy funds and how they will be used or can be expended. But before I go into that details of my request, I wish to focus on the cadre of anti-levy citizens whose primary declaration is no new taxes. The reasons are many. The list I just handed you is a summary of the ideas offered and my personal characterization of those ideas. You need to know that I have written personal letters to the published anti-levy letter writers indicating my agreements as well as my disappointments in the purported facts offered in support of their vote no positions. I've also challenged the anti-levy advocates to provide a solution for our public safety problem. Over the weekend, I asked an individual who offered to redline the 2015-16 budget to pick up a copy of the budget on Monday and then return today with recommendations that would allow the Budget Committee to identify the $2.3 million needed to reestablish a viable Polk County public safety system without relying upon the proposed public safety levy. My invitation garnered the following response, and I quote, "I still maintain that new ways of doing things and not wasting in other areas would allow funds for that," unquote. This magical aspiration mirrors other ill-defined expressions I have heard and read. Yesterday, Mr. Pickering and I had a short conversation in the hall before I left. I repeated an early written point, and I'll just quote what I said. "You still have not offered a solution for the $2.3 million shortfall in federal subsidies and timber receipts." Mr. Pickering and his fellow self-proclaimed no property tax increase conservatives may well believe government is the problem. Apparently, they have been shouting slogans, this kind of a slogan, for so long that they actually believe their own words, that taxes are evil. My position is different. Paying taxes to support public safety is a civic membership responsibility in our community. It is my way of contributing to a civil society. Rejecting the public safety levy means more years of diminished public safety services in Polk County. Maybe the anti-levy cadre is willing to continue down that path. But I am not. Remember, Wasson, you asked earlier about possible future timber harvests or new federal subsidies as a funding solution. Mr. Hansen and Commissioner Pope's responses made it abundantly clear such funds, even if they do materialize, will never cover the $2 million plus needed to reestablish the Polk County public safety system. Let me now turn to my request. One of the reasons voters are hesitant to vote for the levy is trust. Trust in the behavior of our county commissioners. The commissioners have heard the criticisms, so I'll not repeat them. But such criticisms are the genesis for my request. First, I seek confirmation that the general funds currently used to fund public safety will continue to be allocated to public safety over the life of the operating levy. For example, the proceeds of the permanent tax rate growth is roughly, as we heard on Monday, 2 to 3%. In 2014-15, the property tax revenue to the general fund was budgeted at just over $8 million. Of that amount, about $6.7 million was budgeted to public safety. I expect, or I sincerely hope, that the same $7.6 million amount from the general fund to go to public safety annually for each year over the five-year levy. Any annual increase in the general fund revenue can be budgeted where the budget committee and the administrator decides it would be wisest to use. I ask that the budget committee encourage the Board of Commissioners to issue a formal commitment affirming that the annual public safety levy assessment shall be reduced by the amount equal to the value of federal funds received, whether in the form of timber payments or a subsidy. We've seen both versions of that in Polk County. Finally, I seek a recommendation from the Budget Committee that the allocation of public safety levy funds offered by the county administrator for the first year of the levy, that is 12 rural law enforcement officers, 6 corrections officers.
Five.
You're right, my brain has gone dead. Thank you. with the correction from Mr. Hansen, 5 corrections officers and 5 DA personnel and 2 juvenile beds shall not decrease over the five-year period of the levy. Full stop. I would be happy to share my statement that I, what I'm asking of the Budget Committee with you at this time.
Thank you.
Yep.
Pretty sure.
I welcome any questions, comments. Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, members.
I'll say something. I've said in public, I don't know how many times, that we will offset the public safety levy if we do get any timber money coming in, federal timber money. So if we got $800,000 and we're getting $2.2 million, that would be offset and would not be out to... I've said that more than 10 times, and so...
If I may respond, Commissioner?
Sure.
I agree with you. You have made that statement many times. I would like you to put a letter in the public newspaper reaffirming that from you, affirming that that's the position of this Board of Commissioners, so that it's in no one's question in any way that, yes, I know you have that commitment. I know that your colleagues have that commitment. But I'm looking for something that's out there that Mr. Average Citizen can say, yes, I really, you know, they didn't just talk about it. They're making a public commitment. That's my request.
Even though I'm not a member of the Budget Committee, I'm an important member of the budget process.
Indeed.
And I will go even a step further. We have said that the federal offset would reduce the public safety levy by X amount, whatever that is. We've also, or at least I've also made statements, if there's a state fix, which may or may not occur at the state level, that would offset the levy also. There are legislation that's being proposed, being discussed, those kind of things, that could dramatically increase our property tax revenue and or other methods that have been proposed across the river. Whether those occur or not, most likely not. It will require a statewide vote and a whole bunch of other things. But if those occur, the goal of this levy is to restore public safety. It is not to get a windfall of money and sit on it and spend in other areas. So I've made that statement more than once, and I'm happy to make it anytime. I've also made the statement more than once that, is this a one-time fix? And the answer, in my opinion, professional opinion, is no. As long as things remain in the current status that they are, we will have to go out for another levy 5 years from now. And hopefully it's in an amount that is close to the same, but I don't know what it will be. To fail in this first 5 years, if we're indeed successful on May 19th, it's crazy to fail because you will never get it again. I have confidence with our voters that they're smart enough to know, yes, Polk County delivered on its promises, or Polk County did not deliver on its promises. Do I see a need for these guys to do what you're asking? I don't know. It's more of a political posturing, not a fiscal posturing. Because I truly believe we're making promises to the public, and as long as I've been here, we've maintained those promises in the building of our roads, in the building of our jail, the operating of our jail. I don't see that is going to change, and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If we screw it up, we're not getting it in 5 years. So we could, in theory, live high on the hog for 5 years, but we're idiots if you're really a steward of the public money and public services out in the future. So that's my two cents one way or another, and I'm not part of the body, but I do strongly recommend certain things. So
may I ask a question or make a comment?
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have heard Mr. Hansen make each of these declarations. I'm in no way trying to suggest something, but I am fully aware of the kinds of noises that are out there. I'll give you an example. Today we had a letter in the Statesman Journal that made the comment, oh, I have a great idea. Let's have 24-hour coverage with a Superman patrol officer to go out and protect every emergency situation in the county. The letter writer chose not to tell how we're going to pay for it. That literally, to do what that person said, will take 3 FTEs at a minimum, just to have somebody on duty for the 14 hours, 7 days a week, that are not covered under the current system. Didn't show a way to pay for it.
In fact, to correct you, sir, it would be 6, because we won't send less than 2. That's the sheriff's policy.
Yeah. I agree with you.
I was just going to say it.
Thank you.
The sheriff won't send one person out.
Yeah.
And reasonable.
Commissioner, you are absolutely right, and I do appreciate that. And that's the kind of thing that drives me crazy. No new taxes. Well, who's going to pay for the services we're demanding? I want this body to be in a position to make this statement that we all have that responsibility. And if you wish to ignore it in some way, you better be ready to come back with a response. I've done my piece. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you.
Got a ton of notes here. I'll be going through them. Changing my mind.
Steve Pickering.
1895 South Church Street, City of Dallas, very last house on the county line. I throw rocks over at the county today.
Can you have the city fix your road?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Citizens Committee members, first off, I want to thank you very much for what, having been on some budget committees, I know what a hard task you've got. Mr. Hanson, I know that you've probably done the lion's share of the work, and I appreciate that. We've got a good county. It's a small county. I'm a little disappointed in the last couple of days. I came expecting to see two budget proposals, and I'm essentially only seeing one with what we will also do if we get the levy passed. I'm not seeing what we'll do if the levy doesn't pass to restore 24-hour service. There's nowhere in this budget is there a single thing that says what we're going to do without the levy to restore service. This budget is not complete. I don't think the levy is going to pass. I think part of it is because of ultra-conservatives like myself who know new taxes. You're not providing the services that we deserve that we're paying for now. We're already paying for these services and we're not getting them. We're paying at this point 45% of our income into here is coming from property taxes. That's coming from my home and the businesses. We're talking about 45 cents per thousand. Okay, maybe none of us own a multi-million dollar property, but what about the cannery? What about all those properties along 22? What about all the businesses in West Salem? What about the businesses in Dallas and the surrounding areas that have multi-million dollar properties valued that are going to be paying 45 cents per thousand also? How many jobs are we going to lose in addition to already not having sheriff's patrol? And we're only putting a Band-Aid on for 5 years. And we're going to have to do it again in 5 years. And if this doesn't pass, I suspect we're going to have three brand new commissioners here come the 2016, because the people are going to be really upset. And that's a fact. Mr. Easterly is a very eloquent person, and there's two sides to every letter that's written. Both sides are incorrect in a lot of what they're writing. I myself want to apologize to this commission and to the public for my misconception that the issues at the jail were a misuse of funding and a misuse of personnel. I found out recently that that's not true. It's the unions that set the standard that said we had to have sworn deputies instead of professional corrections at the jail. Apparently this body or a body like it lost a lawsuit at some time back that has put you in a situation that is not required by state law. So my main argument has been that we need to recover some monies by going to professional corrections. I find out that you can't, not by state law, which the sheriff and I have argued about some, and but by a union win in the courts. Your PERS are killing this county, and I don't see that being addressed aggressively because your attorneys are telling you we're going to lose in court. Then lose in court, but stand up for us, the taxpayers, and stop this bleed that is going on. There's a third tier now to PERS. Make sure all new employees are in that third tier, not the high tier. Make sure that they're not getting the same drain that we're getting. Everybody needs retirement, but public employee retirement is excessive. I don't have it. None of you, except for, as I said, public employees have it. The private sector doesn't have it. So I'm going to make my speech short. I'm not going to bring up all of the things I was going to bring up. I will mention priorities. 24-hour patrol is more important than parks. I think they are. I like our parks. But maybe we need to put them on minimum maintenance, at least until we find a resolution of this. More tax money, more growth in the county. What about our feel-good programs? We have some.
They make us look good, they make us a better county. But right now, we need those patrols more. It's time to consider trimming the meat from the bone. You've already cut the fat. It's time to start cutting into the meat. Do you have maybe an extra administrative specialist, an extra clerical specialist someplace that maybe that funding could be used in the sheriff's department? I'm addressing if the levy doesn't pass, not if it passes. You're going to have to do something, and you have not made those arrangements in this budget. We have to have sheriff's patrols. I don't agree with the common pro-levy position is, we're not safe. Unless you've got a sheriff's officer living in your garage, he does not provide you with protection. He comes to investigate afterwards. What you're not getting right now is that investigation in a timely manner. But he cannot provide you with 1 ounce more safety. If you put 10 deputies on the road right now, you've got a lot of miles of county road. And there's no deputy going to be where you are when you need him. That doesn't happen. Will they cut down on some traffic problems? Probably. How many traffic problems do we really have in the county? If that's an issue, why isn't the sheriff patrol going to serve a warrant in West Salem using a county road instead of going down the state highway? Why aren't they going down through Rickreall to go to West Salem? Now they're patrolling that road. It doesn't take them 1 minute longer to go that extra 3 or 4 miles down through there, but they've patrolled a county road. Why not go out through Orr's Corner? Do something different to keep the sheriff on the road, the few limits that we have. We're not doing that right now. So the property tax increase, 11.79% of the revenue, that makes it 57% of the revenue is going to come from property taxes. That's a big percentage of raise. It's not just 45 cents per thousand. It's a major percentage of this county's income is going to come from this levy. You're going to go from, I believe it's 45% to about almost 12% increase. A total of 57% will come from property taxes. And that's a number that is not on this chart. I had to put it in myself. So you see, people aren't thinking about that. This is more than just a levy to support the sheriff. This is an increase in taxes at a time when our taxes we're currently paying are not being used to provide the services that we not only deserve, but that we demand. You're not doing it now with the money you have. So why should we give you more money to do it? Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Were there any questions?
Can you define feel-good program for me?
Feel-good programs. Boy, that's a tough one without going line by line through the budget. Wow. Now you pin me down. If this was a city, I could give you a dozen of them. without going through line, no, I can't. There's probably programs that we're spending money on.
You use words like probably. You've got the budget in front of you, for God's sake. You've been here all week. Fact is, if this levy doesn't pass, we will still have 10 hours a day, 7 days a week coverage, period. There's no money. So you have all this, whatever you call what you just said. Where is the money?
Let me address a couple things that I put in my notes here.
Feel good would be a good one to start with if you put in your notes.
I would love to do that, but I'm going to tell you honestly, I can't, because it's just something that popped into my head. I'll address something that is not just in my head.
Well,
There's a need for patrol cars.
I heard you say yesterday that you don't say anything if it's not true. I heard that from you. So now you're telling me that you've got something in your notes you can't define. They're your notes and they're your words. So how can you say something from your notes and your words? And now you can't tell me what it means.
I am not going to take a personal attack from you or any other commissioner. So let's stop right there. I will find your feel-good projects and I will report them to you. Because there are a few. That was an off the top of my head statement that I know are there. I will find them. I would like to address that they want to buy a few new patrol cars. Let's use up what we have. Use it up. Keep it until it is no longer safe.
Until it kills somebody, right? when they lose control of it because they used it up and kill somebody.
Or should we maybe use that money so that somebody else doesn't get killed because we don't have a sheriff's patrol? The safety issue with a patrol car, you're going to have to show that to me, unless that car is really wore out. Just like we're saving money with propane, and yet almost all the new vehicles purchased are not propane.
They don't build them that way.
You have to convert them.
I looked down the list of some of the vehicles being sold to Tahoes. Why aren't those propane? They make a propane kit for the Tahoes. And yet we're supposed to be saving all this money. So you're not saving every dime you could. Let me look at my note right here. I'm going to make this final statement. The taxpayers of this county have already told you no. I think they're going to tell you no again. And I don't think that this body as a whole has addressed what you're going to do without that tax levy. You've stayed status quo. You're making the assumption you're going to get the levy, and if you don't, then we'll just keep it the way it is. You can't do that. You three commissioners cannot do that. We have to have our sheriff's patrols. We have to have our summons service. We have to have our courts protected. We have to have our jail. So you have to find another way to do that. If there's no more money coming in, then you've got to figure out what you're going to do with the money you have. The sheriff's department's already using 30-some percent, I believe, of the total general fund budget. You're going to have to figure something out. And I did not hear it addressed even once, other than we're going to do a levy. That's not the only answer. There's got to be another way, because other counties have the same problem you have, and they're addressing their issues. It's the same pain. Any other questions?
So let me ask you a question. I'm not the body, but
I understand
I'm the one who put the budget together in that. You mentioned parks. Parks drains our general fund by $1,141. That's about a tenth of a sheriff's patrol. It's a $60,000 budget, and we get $59,000 in revenue that is supposed to be spent on parks. So yeah, we waste $1,141 on parks. I guess that's my fault. I should have zeroed that out in that, but that's fine. I'm the one that put in getting new vehicles. I put that in because that's one-time money to purchase vehicles. These guys are driving, you know, at times over 100 miles an hour on vehicles that have 200,000 miles on. Probably not what the general public wants. Probably not what the sheriff wants. His officers endangering themselves or others in a vehicle that's 5 years old and has 200,000 miles on. It's a cost of doing business. We have a budget here. I put the operating levy in the budget because without that, I have to reconvene the whole budget committee if it is successful. It's in there. It's in its own little hole. If it doesn't pass, it's eliminated. Can I restore 24-hour coverage? No way. It's impossible. There is no other options for the county other than a law enforcement district or an operating levy to get more money into this county. We've researched it. Other counties in the same predicament as us, Josephine County, they're much worse predicament. What do they have? They have one patrol guy. We're a lot better off than they are. Curry County, same thing. The whole ONC supported counties, because of how the property tax system was designed and not needing money at the time when permanent rates were established, are all suffering right now. Marion County's not suffering. They got very little ONC. They have a $3.04 permanent rate. We have $1.71. Linn County has a $1.24 permanent rate. They should be suffering. They would be. But they have a $2.83 levy. Twice as much as their regular property tax. We're looking for 25% of our permanent rate. There is no answer other than money. I can't print it. I'm not the federal government. I can't make promises like our state government and get it from the feds. I'm stuck with what I have to do. And as a result, that's why this levy is being proposed. And if it doesn't pass, there is no money to create a 24-hour patrol. I'd love to give the sheriff a 24-hour patrol. I hate laying off people and proposing budgets with layoffs. Thank God this year I didn't have to. Things are looking up, and hopefully they continue to look up. But I can't promise. And if we go at this pace, you won't get 24-hour patrol probably for another decade. And meanwhile, the DA's office, and if we put it all into 24-hour patrol, the DA's office suffers. So sheriff has 24-hour patrol, but we can't prosecute crap. And sorry for using that language, but it's the reality. It's a system, and the system for Polk County is broken. And without money, it won't get fixed. And I'm just sorry to say that.
I understand the reasons, Mr. Hanson. I know why it's happening. I would only make one further comment, and that's that if we don't have patrols, what do we need new patrol cars for? We have some new vehicles, and we only have a limited number of officers. And yet you come by here with no patrols, and there's no cars here, so those officers are taking those cars home. Good thing. Many departments do it. But if the officers are not responsible, where are the cars at?
They're all outside of public works.
So we have vehicles sitting. How many vehicles do we need for the patrols we have?
You can ask the sheriff. In the budget packet, there was a list of vehicles. We, you know, I'm not going to argue whether a vehicle is safe or not safe and when you should replace or not replace. I mean, but them responding to a vehicle that engine blows and they don't ever get there isn't a good result. And when an engine blows and you're traveling at high speeds, probably not a good result from that engine blowing. Back in the 80s, we had those things happen. I was here when we had vehicles that had 200,000 miles, and it was not good results. The sheriff was here back then. It's a safety thing. It's part of doing business. It's like issuing guns and not giving them bullets. I mean, it's part of doing business. And the reason I put it in one-time capital outlay is I can pay for it this year. I don't know if I can sustain it. That's
I like you, this body. I'm grasping at straws. I'm looking for pennies to make dollars. And those are just some pennies, and I realize that. And just like with the Feel Good program, those are pennies. I'm looking for pennies to make dollars, but pennies do make dollars. And if this doesn't pass, you're going to have to start digging in the pennies, in the penny jar.
There are no pennies. That's the part you're not understanding. There are no pennies.
I'm going to take Mr. Easterly's challenge, and I'm going to redline the budget where I can find some pennies. Okay. And then I'll present it. Thank you very much. If no one has anything else, I feel pretty beat up. I'm going to
get back. Make just a quick comment. I've been on the budget committee for a number of years, and I have seen these commissioners and ones before them work very hard to try to get that OMC money flowing in one form or another. Everything they could possibly do to help in that process, but they've not been able to do it. You might want to look in that direction.
I would see is why we got in this position. And, but we knew that several years ago.
And I'm going to say something because I've been awful quiet. You know, you kind of challenge us a little bit, the fact that we're not going to be here in 2 years or 4 years. Whoever's going to run against us, I want them to come up with some good ideas.
I wouldn't want to be the person doing it.
No, you wouldn't, because there's nobody that wants to do it. And to say that we haven't done anything, I'm very disappointed in the fact that we have to listen to this stuff all the time, and we have broad shoulders, okay? Steve, if there were some way I could fix this right here, I would do it.
Okay? I believe you, Mike.
My reputation is out there, as is Craig's and Jennifer's. We were elected to do the best that we can from our constituents. And we're always getting shot at the paper. They're not willing to come and talk to us face to face like you are, and I appreciate that you're here today. Because you've actually made time to come to this budget. And Gene and EM have been here also. But where's everyone else? Where's everyone else who has all these wonderful ideas that they never share with any of us, okay?
I mean, I've lived here my whole life, okay? I have a vested interest in Polk County. My mom is 80 years old. My mother-in-law is 87. I don't think they can afford not to vote yes on this. Because every time, Steve, not only do they live in town, but every time they go out of the city limits, they're at risk. They're at risk like everyone else, okay? And to think, you know, I can feel the hair on the back of my neck, and I don't have much hair. Because, you know, every time you read something, you know, these commissioners are idiots, and, you know, they're not doing their job. Trust me. If you don't believe anything else, just believe what I'm saying right now. We've done everything. We've been out speaking to the public. I'm out in the public every day, whether it's Monmouth Independence, whether it's Dallas, whether it's West Salem. And people are trying to figure out what we can do. But what are we going to do, Mike? Okay, you guys knew that the timber, sure. But Steve, but there's no industry here in Polk County. Okay, we've lost timber companies here, okay, that were huge employers. Okay, Craig works with SEDCOR all the time trying to get folks to come over into the county. We're at a disadvantage, number one, because we're on this side of the river and this side of I-5, okay? And we're doing everything we can every day for the people, okay? Because I want to feel safe. This is not the county that I grew up in with regards to public safety. And Bob has done everything, or Sheriff Wolf, I'll say, has done everything he can with his folks. Whether it's saving $40,000 to $60,000 going over to propane, okay? We've done everything, every low-hanging fruit, everything that we can find. But there's nothing else there. You know, that $2.5 million that was there, you know, that would probably be about $10 million now with how things, inflation and everything, and the cost of, like Greg has said, of just doing business. Just keeping the lights on in the building, or insurance at 5%. And the PERS deal, that has to be done over there
in Salem,
okay? That's our representative, okay? And we are in contact with those folks, okay? Whether it's Mr. Nearman, or if it's Paul Evans, or any of those folks. Because we need some help. Mr. Volquist, same thing. We need help, but we're not getting anything, okay? And, you know, and I feel terrible, okay? Because people depend on us to try to help this budget process. And these gentlemen here who are just volunteering their time, you know, I have great admiration for them because these are difficult situations. And I just wish I could find something that was $60,000 or $70,000 or $80,000 or $90,000, but you know how many of those we have to find in order to get one patrol officer? And if we did just get one, that takes 9 months to train them. You know, becoming a police officer is the only job I know that when you get hired, then you have to go to training for 16 weeks, and then it takes you another 4 or 5 months just to get qualified to be able to, that Bob would feel comfortable with them being out on patrol themselves. You know, and there's a lot of territory here. And so, you know, that, I'm just going to say that because I just couldn't sit still, Steve, and say that, you know.
My comments do not direct, I hope, do not directly reflect on you as individuals. I'm commenting on government. I'm definitely not commenting on the citizen advisory. I know what they're doing. I want to know where those people are too. I want to know where all the people like myself who are no new taxes for any reason. Where are they? Why aren't they here offering suggestions? Well, I don't have that answer.
And the other thing is, Steve, is that we're so accessible. Okay? The other folks in Salem or back in Washington, D.C., they're not accessible. You can come into our door anytime. And I think people feel comfortable complaining about us because we listen, okay? The rest of the folks, I'm going to say the folks back in Washington, D.C., they forgot where they came from, okay? And I'm very sincere when I say it. They might have had great intentions when they first went back there.
I wasn't talking about Peter DeBosio.
No. But you know what I mean, okay?
Yeah, I do.
You know what I mean?
I do. And again, my comments are on government and your position in government. They're not on you as individuals. So again, I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for being here, too. I appreciate it.
Any other comments? If there are no other comments, I'm going to close the public comment period. Thank you for your input. Summary discussion, sir.
Mr. Chair, you are now through all of the county budgets with the exception of the remainder of the general fund, which we'll talk about tomorrow. Those are the transfers, the contingency, and the unappropriated ending fund balance. There were no new things added to the wish list today. And you tentatively approved all the public works budgets, including the public works fund, public land corner preservation fund, OTIA 3 fund, and the Doakesbury Road fund. So with that, you can recess till tomorrow at 10, when we'll discuss those remaining items and tentatively approve our budget, and then we'll come back on May 20th and formally approve our budget with updates.
Did we want to discuss the department head for the public works?
Deletions, again, are always in order. He's now survived an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah. So you're getting all that love.
April 2. Thank you, Todd, for being a good
April. Hour and 45 minutes, that's longer than the last hour.
We need to recess.
Yeah, we've got to recess in a hurry.
We'll recess till tomorrow at 10 o'clock.